Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy Brim's with us again from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And boy, has she got some good stuff for us. Welcome, Billy.
You know what, Gloria? I'll just confess to you some of my kind of a private thoughts, you know, running around my house.
I won't tell.
So anyway, I want Jesus to come.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And I would go around my house saying, just to me and God, no one else. You know how you have little conversations with God going all the time? I want Jesus to come. I want Jesus to come. I want Jesus to come. I've been saying that now for some time, especially since last Rosh Hashanah. So then I've kind of figured out that didn't sound quite right. You know, it's kind of like a desperate pleading. You see something crazy in this world and you say, I want Jesus to come. So I figured out how to do it biblically. You want to hear how I got it?
Ahead.
Okay. Right on the last book of the Bible, Jesus says in chapter 22, Revelation, verse 7, behold, I come quickly. And verse 12, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. And then it says in verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And then verse 20, he which testifies these things, that would be Jesus, saith, surely I come quickly, even so come, Lord Jesus. So here's what I figured out. I've got this all polished up,
good.
You know.
All right.
It's not as desperate, but it's like this. Jesus, you said on the last page of the book that you're coming quickly. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
That's good.
That's more nice, isn't it?
Yes, that's
praise
nice.
God. But you know, that's what we're looking for. I know you are. I know
surely
Ken
it's
is.
Time.
Yep, it's surely time. And all around in the world are signs, you know, that He's coming soon. And but that question, when, ever since He first said it, that He's coming back, that's been the question. It was a question with the disciples.
Yeah.
And in Matthew chapter 24, and I've got it down there.
On our page.
On our page. You'll find it there on your page.
Yeah.
Matthew 24, it says, Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And His disciples came to show Him the buildings of the temple. You know, there in Jerusalem is the Temple Mount, Mount Moriah. We say Moriah. And there was where the temple was built. It had been built first under, Solomon. But then that temple had been torn down. It had been rebuilt under Haggai, Zechariah, and Nehemiah, and Ezra. But then it fell kind of into disrepair, and Herod had refurbished it. So at this time, there's been on a 34-year building program going on. And Herod, he was a crazy guy that killed his best friends and his wife included.
I don't like him. No,
he was a bad dude, but he was a genius builder. And he built buildings that are still standing in Israel right now. This temple would still be standing because there's another place that's still standing, two or three, that he built. And he brought in these huge stones, you know, and if you go down underneath, there's a walkway that you can go under the wall of Jerusalem. And you go walking under there and you see some of these huge foundational stones of the wall. Oh, they're huge. They're long. You know, we always have, when we take our tours, we have somebody go stand at the end of one and somebody go stand at the end. And the question always is,
how did they do it?
How did they do that? So here's Jesus and He's in Jerusalem and He's got these Galilean disciples with Him. And they've come there to the city and they're looking at these stones and they want to show Jesus about it. So this is chapter 24. Verse 1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him to show Him the buildings of the temple.
Matthew.
And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Oh my goodness. This just absolutely throws His disciples into a panic because He's talking about this temple.
Yeah.
This connection with God being torn down. And they're thinking, don't you know that's dangerous? They want to kill you anyway. And here you're telling the temple's coming down. So now we move to another scene. We've been on the Temple Mount here, and they've asked him that question. And verse 3, they're over on the Mount of Olives. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, that means they've walked down from the Temple Mount, they've walked through the Kidron Valley, and they've walked back up over to the Mount of Olives and the place that later came to be called Gethsemane. And it says in the Bible that they often went there to Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives. So they get down on the Mount of Olives. Now, they walked a long way since he told them those stones are coming down. And as he sat, verse 3, upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us when. They had the same question everybody does now. People know that I teach on Bible prophecy.
And they say when.
And they say when. Mm-hmm. Now, we know you've got a date picked out. Please tell us what that date is. And they came to him and they said, tell us when shall these things be? But they've got two parts to their question. And this is something that unless you know how to rightly divide the word, you might not catch. But it's divided here in the word for us. Tell us when, number one question, shall these things be? These things, what things? The coming down of the stones of the temple. When is that going to be? And number two, whole nother question. What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? King James says world, but it's really age. So that word coming, the Bible, New Testament's in Greek.
Tell me where that is. 24.
That's in Matthew 24 and verse 3.
Okay.
What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? This word coming here is a Greek word because the New Testament's written in Greek. And the word is parousia. What shall be, they're asking him, the sign of thy parousia? Parousia in the Greek means the coming of a king or an emperor. Now, these are not Baptist boys. They're not Assemblies of God boys. They're not Catholic boys. They're not Word of Faith boys. They're Jewish boys. And these Jewish boys have been hearing ever since the prayer when Hannah prayed for a son and Samuel came. In Hannah's prayer, they've been hearing that a king, Messiah, is coming.
Now, that would have been a long time.
A long time before. Before David, before it was Samuel's
time.
You can
understand why they'd say, when?
I mean, now, Gloria, we've been waiting here in the church age for 2,000 years, but those Jews, they've been waiting like 3,500, 4,000 years. So
when?
At this time, 1,500 years or so, when they say, we heard in Hannah's prayer that there's coming a king Messiah. And he's going to set up a kingdom. Particularly the prophet Isaiah tells him he's going to set up a kingdom, earthly kingdom. One you can see right here on the earth. Going to be ruled out of Jerusalem. Jerusalem going to be the capital city. Man, these guys are under Roman rule. They're wanting some ease from the Roman, bad guys. And they say, tell us when shall be the time of thy parousia. When are you going to come as the king and set up your kingdom? They believe he's the Messiah. So he answers both questions. Number one, he's going to answer when are these walls going to come down. And so when you read Matthew 24 and you read Luke 21, these are two chapters that happen at the same time. He answers both questions. So you have to decide which is which. Now, we're going to take a particularly straight journey today. We're gonna watch just certain things. So they said, what is the sign of your parousia? We're not going to deal with when that wall came down and when that temple came down in 70 AD. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to skip over to when is he coming to set up his earthly kingdom. He's still not done that, Gloria. He has not set up his earthly visible kingdom. He has a kingdom that is an invisible kingdom.
Yes.
That's forever. But he is going to set up an earthly visible kingdom. So they said, what's the sign of that? So he gives as a number one sign here, we're going to go to Luke chapter 21, and we're going to be reading here, we'll start with verse 29. And he spoke to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, You see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. He's talking about that visible kingdom. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now, Gloria, I'm going to have to borrow. Oh, actually, to tell you the truth, I'm going to have to borrow this from you. I made this for you.
I just got that.
I lost mine. Bless
the
Lord.
Just like a little kid.
I know it.
Can't keep up with your stuff.
I know it, Glow, and I did a good job on this, and I color-coded it and everything. I gave you the pink, and but anyway, praise the Lord.
I'll let you use it.
So, now what does he mean here? Thanks a lot. Jesus said, watch the fig tree. Are you supposed to go in your backyard and watch a fig tree? I mean, you might be able to do that here in Texas, but I don't think we grow fig trees in Branson, Missouri.
I haven't seen one in my yard.
I know they grow them in Louisiana, but he doesn't mean you just go out and watch a fig tree. It stands for something. What does it stand for?
It represents something.
It represents Israel. And if you want proof of that, you go to Joel 1:7. And since I took your copy, I'll just let you read along with me.
Thank you.
Joel 1:7. He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree.
How do you think that means bark?
Took the bark off of it.
Took it off.
Yeah. He hath made it clean bare. Well, it tells you there. Mm-hmm. And cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. So this fig tree that's Israel.
Explain that sentence to us.
Well, it got its bark taken off by armies and the nations, one after the other after the other, and just barked it plain. And it didn't. It got to the state where it didn't bear much fruit. So he says, watch Israel. That's the fig tree. Now, if the fig tree is symbolic of a nation, which is Israel. Then he says in Luke, watch all the trees. Are those? Well, they got to be nations. If the fig tree is a nation, then the others are nations. So, behold the fig tree and all the fig trees. Now he says, when they shoot forth, see that little fig tree going to get some buds on it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to blossom again. Israel. Even though it was scattered throughout all the earth and away from Israel, it's going to come home. It's going to have a place in prophetic, in the Bible, that it fulfills. Now, when these come back, when these nations, when Israel and when all the nations of prophecy shoot forth into the prophetic place, then what? He's asked when. So he says, that's when. When you see those nations,
every nation
coming back to where it is, when they shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. Summer is the judgment time of the harvest. We won't go into that. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation, the generation that sees the fig tree bud, the generation that sees Israel come back, the generation, we're going to talk all the week about one of these nations. We're going to follow the nation Iran in Bible prophecy. We're going to follow it in its biblical history. Where did it first appear? What happened to it all through the Bible? We're going to connect dots.
That'll be interesting.
And then we're going to get over into its future. It has a prophetic future. And you're seeing it on your network news.
Yeah.
Or on internet news. You're bombarded with Iran day after day after day. So it's not hard to watch Israel now, and it's not hard to watch Iran because they're in the news. And Jesus said, when you see that, dun, 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 dun.
Guess what?
The generation.
Look up!
Yay! And the generation that sees it glow won't pass away until everything is fulfilled. You know what generation that is?
I don't know. I know I'm 73 right now.
You're that much older than me.
Yeah, right. You and Kenneth are the same age.
No. Ken's 2 years older than me.
Oh, is he?
Now that we settle that issue. In other words, Gloria and I are that generation.
Praise God.
It's been in our lifetime, Glow. Let me see. I don't know about you. But anyway, it's been in my lifetime.
I was born in 42.
Oh, okay. It's your generation. Because Israel came back home. They got to be a nation. 1945, they're in the ovens of Europe. 1948, they've got a nation, just like God said and the prophets said they would. And now, the generation then in 1967, that's when you and I went to those meetings in Tulsa.
Yeah.
And that's when the blood moons came.
Blood moons.
And that's when Israel got back Jerusalem. We've seen all this.
Praise God.
And now we're seeing the nations act the way that God said they would in the Bible. Not that He wanted them to act that way, but He knows how they're going to turn out. So Jesus said, watch the nations. We're doing that. We're going to do it particularly this week. You want to meet us with your Bible every day. And you could have a cup of coffee too. That'd be fun. I see people and they say, you know, I do. I sit down and I have a cup of coffee with you and
Good.
Gloria. Now, if you're going to watch the nations, you're going to watch the fig tree, and you're going to watch Iran, which is who we're going to watch. We're going to zero in on one of those nations so you can see how to watch.
All right.
There's only one way you can watch, and that's through the light of prophecy. That's through the light of the scriptures, through the light of the Old Testament prophets. The nations of the prophets, these are the nations where the prophets foretold from the beginning the end of those nations. So 2 Peter 1:16. I have that here on your book here, but
thank you.
Yeah.
What page is that?
This you don't have it. I borrowed it from you.
Well,
I'll let you peek on. 2 Peter 1:16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. Peter says we were in the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus when Moses and Elijah came from the other side and they talked over Jesus' death that He was going to accomplish. We were there. And Peter was there. But he said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise. In your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecies came not in old time by the will of men, but the Holy Ghost, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In the Bible, Peter says, if you want to, I'm going to leave. In 2 Peter, he's ready to go. He's talking to the people. He said, I'm going to go. But he said, now, there'll be a light that shines in a dark place to you. There are going to be some dark times. But he said, even though I saw Him on the Mount of Transfiguration and the great light and heard a voice from heaven, there's something more sure. It's the written word of the prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, all those. Those prophets, holy men of old, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, if you want to know what's happening, then you're going to have to know what the Old Testament prophets said. Mm-hmm. He's talking about the Old Testament. He didn't have a New Testament
That's
in his
right.
time. So, here are some of the nations that the Old Testament prophets talk about. See if you recognize any of them. Syria.
Mm.
Damascus.
Yes.
Iraq. Babylon. Lebanon. Jordan. Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
Russia. The old Roman Empire, which includes Europe as well. And then Iran, which in the Bible is called Elam and Persia. This week, we will focus on watching one nation, Iran, known in the Bible as Elam, E-L-A-M, Persia. Iran has a 4,000-year biblical history and a prophetic place until the end of days. People get upset because where's the United States in Bible prophecy? It ain't there, McGee. You have to just fiddle around and just fish to find it. Because I want to show you the timeline. I'm going to ask them to show you the timeline. When Moses was up on the mount with God, God told to him, and this comes from the oral tradition of the Jews, that God gave to Adam a 6-day work week. God worked with earth in 6 days. And so he gave, and rested on the seventh. So he gave to Adam a 6-day work week. That 6-day work week was made up of 1,000-year days. We know in Psalm 90, and we know in 2 Peter, right where we've been reading, that 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. So God gave to Adam, Adam's lease on earth was for 6,000 years. And those days, 1,000 year being a day, are divided up into 3 segments. The first 2,000 years, or 2 days, being the days of chaos. Then the Torah came, the word came. Moses got the written word. I'd hate to have been in the part before. Moses got the written word, and we have 2,000 years of the Torah. And then on the 4th day, the Messiah comes. And he did come, and we've been living in 2 years of what we call the church age. We're right at the end of 6,000 years. We're right at the end of the 6th day, and we're going into the 7th day. The United States of America didn't come till the last half of the 6th day. Iran has been there since the beginning, since the Babylonian. Iran has a 4,000-year biblical history. So we wouldn't have any biblical history. And that's why we're going to follow one nation, Iran, through its biblical history and then into its future. Iran, very definitely, God tells us what happens with Iran, especially in the 38th chapter, 39th chapter of Ezekiel. So you'll be with us. We're going to be doing what Jesus said. You can't obey Jesus if you don't watch Israel and if you don't watch the fig tree and if you don't watch the nation. So we're going to obey Jesus this week. We're going to watch Iran in Bible prophecy.
That'd be interesting. Wow. Don't miss any of that.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.